Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into The Drive. It is the Friday edition. Hope everybody ready for the weekend. And right now, not a bad-looking Friday. Hopefully, weather cooperates. One of the later forecasts I saw called for a chance of rain after midnight tonight, but just a slight chance of rain after early tomorrow morning. That would be fine for all the folks that are planning on coming to town for a day tomorrow. So, hopefully that holds up. But welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill and Dan coming to you from the WOW Business Studio.
That's right, Bill, and you can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com.
Hour number one of The Drive brought to you as usual by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and kiaofauburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one.
I did that one with my headphones off. Could it come through?
I can hear you. All right. I think everybody could.
All right, good.
And see, nobody would have ever known had you not said that.
A theater of the mind, right? You never know what we're doing here.
Occasionally we do. I was going to mention that Kia of Auburn, also the sponsor of our hotline, the number to get you through from anywhere, 334-321-1390. We'd love your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports. We'd like to know what you think you'll see, what you would like to see, maybe hope to see at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
When have you offered a prediction for MVP? You said something yesterday.
I said, don't be shocked if somebody Jay Sharp ends up with the possibility. He hit four batters, Dan.
Oh, man.
That's why he didn't make it through five innings. So the line doesn't look that bad. Only two walks for Kyle Wright, who Dan has on his roster. Called up from the minors today.
Will we see him make another start?
Probably so, just because of the health of the Braves.
Because if you want to bring
the Braves rotation, it's sort of like Auburn's.
Well, if you want to send him back down and bring Bryce Wilson up, I will not.
I've got a feeling he may stay up and they'll bring Bryce Wilson up.
Okay. You said something getting back to A-Day. We were distracted by the Braves score there for a second, but getting back to A-Day. You said yesterday, I mean, Jay Sharp is somebody, right? I mean, just because...
Well, that's the type player that, at least in the past. But I'm really wondering how much some of the other young players will get an opportunity to play. Auburn just doesn't have a lot of running backs. That's why I was thinking it could be a possibility there if they go with double tight ends a good bit, go with some of the young quarterbacks, someone like that could have the opportunity to be the MVP.
Yeah, I've carved out a nice little Landon King area for myself as someone who could surprise tomorrow. You know, don't be surprised if that's somebody that you're talking about. I mean, it remains to be seen how much Landon or really any of the true freshmen run with the ones and twos. I mean, that's something.
Yeah, but I think the twos and threes are going to end up playing more than the ones.
That's true. So maybe it could hinder your chances to be the 8-day MVP, but mean a lot of positive things for, you know, where you sit when it comes to playing time this season, if you're not out there very much. Is there a true freshman? Is there somebody of the guys who have gone through the spring and got here in January? Is there someone you think people could see a good amount of tomorrow?
Lee Hunter.
Yeah. I think
of the true freshmen, the guys that were early enrollees.
He's going to the BCDC.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull out the depth chart and just look at the
proprietary Bill Cameron depth chart.
I mean, because Landon King is one of those guys. I'm just thinking Lee Hunter might be involved in more plays that you would notice, unless they decide to feature Landon. Because other than that, I mean,
defensive back. I mean, could one of the
That would be Amari Harvey. I mean, who is who has been, you know, working at nickel a good bit.
We didn't do the secondary yesterday.
We can look at that here in just a couple of minutes. But you know, there are only a handful of freshmen who are here on campus. I'll tell you one, D. Davis. He may get a lot of playing time tomorrow, and he has some real ability. And if he's going against, you know, guys that are down the line on the defensive side, I think he has a chance. I think he has a chance to catch some eyes and then get some people. And that's always a position where the backup has got to be better than somebody who's playing. I mean, it seems like every fan base truly believes that their backup quarterback is every bit as good, if not better, than the guy who's out there if he ever makes a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, it's dangerous to read too much into, you know, a performance on a day, especially at the especially at the quarterback position, because it is different from a real game in a lot of ways. But if either Demetrius Davis or Garnett looks much better than the other, I think it would be really interesting coming out of the spring, because like you said, it seems like Auburn knows the starting quarterback and the backup with Grant Loy coming back. Could there be something of a competition between Garnett and Davis, not just to be the third stringer this year, but also to be maybe a bigger part of the plan going forward at the quarterback position?
Oh, yes, I think so. And I'm not, you know, I don't have any inside knowledge that I just feel like Grant Loy with his experience would be the backup. But I would think that a great performance by either D. Davis or Chael Garnett could give them an opportunity to be the backup.
We think the backup position, I mean, we know that Auburn returns the backup quarterback they had last year, but you're right. One of the two young guys could challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are quite a few things to be looking for tomorrow. I mean, I think that I think it's going to be more situational at times. I just have that feeling. Hopefully, we don't have to get into some of the crazy scoring systems that we've had in the past, where, you know, a stop is a point, or first downs or yards, things like that. That is driving me crazy when I'm watching and I look up and there's different scores on the scoreboard all the time when nobody's crossed the end zone.
Right. I don't know if they're going to use orthodox scoring or Greco-Roman.
The Stableford system.
The Stableford system could be employed. So, I mean, there's any number of ways that Auburn could decide. It could be match play. You try not to work. I mean, don't get too fixated on results, as in wins and losses or the final score of the A-Day game. It really is much more than your average football game about individual performances and seeing, you know, if there's somebody that you haven't seen very much of, or somebody you have seen very much of, who's taken a big step forward since the last time you saw them.
Right. So, you know, we'd love your thoughts. You know, is there something you hope to see, or you're going to be watching closely tomorrow at the A-Day game? 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to the drive. We'll check in with Sonny Smith at the bottom of the hour. You know, had Auburn added Wendell Green maybe the last time we talked to him? I know they had not added Walker Kessler.
I believe Wendell Green, yes.
Maybe it was happening about, or it just happened that day, I think.
Wendell Green?
Yeah.
Maybe. I know, Kessler went into the weekend.
Kessler was this week.
Yeah.
Right.
So during the show on Monday, I believe.
Yes. Right at 5:00, I believe, because Brian was on and we were trying to get that news broken. We'll talk with Sonny about that and more, just his thoughts now that the transfer, you know, the immediate eligibility after a transfer one time in players' careers has indeed been passed. And you know, we never really mentioned this, But it was, as we had heard, I mean, the news that was leaking out a couple of days ago was right. It was correct that there will be declaration dates, deadlines to announce that you're planning on transferring with the intent of maintaining your eligibility or having immediate eligibility. And the deadlines will be May 1st for fall and winter sports, July 1st for spring sports. But for this year and this year only, it's July 1st for every athlete. So basketball, football players can wait until July 1st or have until July 1st to announce that they're going to transfer and expect immediate eligibility.
And I would expect at some point transfer portal news to slow down in college basketball. I would think at some point, but it doesn't seem like it's happening anytime soon. I know the Coastal Carolina just lost a player to the...
Oh, yeah, the player of the year.
Yeah, the Sun Belt player of the year just went into the transfer portal today. UCLA just landed the shot blocker from Rutgers, who was considered one of the top...
And Texas A&M, do they have any players left?
They might get they might get Desi Sills.
They might, but I mean, did you see... They have now had six players enter the transfer portal.
No, I mean, it is... It doesn't seem to be slowing down at the moment.
What's the buzz?
And I mean, there's well, it doesn't seem like it seems like maybe there's a culture change happening at Texas A&M. But it doesn't seem to be slowing down at the moment. And we'll see with Auburn retaining a spot or two. What is, because there's some confusion there, I think, too.
Auburn has two spots right now.
JT Thor returning would take one of them.
JT Thor would use one if he came back.
So would you expect Auburn to use both of those spots if JT Thor didn't come back? I know some people think, I mean, could they be leaving one open self-imposed?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. They would want to bring in two players.
Yeah, if they're two really good players who, you know, who Bruce Pearl and his staff feel like could be, could be big contributors. So, because, again, there's no guarantee that there wouldn't be anybody else deciding, hey, I'm not going to get much playing time and I might leave.
Yeah, and you've got a couple.
That's the other thing you have to keep in mind. There's no way that anybody is locked in yet from the players who were here.
Oh, right. No, you I mean, and we're seeing that with, within the transfer portal, a team will add somebody and then a player from that team will decide, well, that
there go my minutes.
Yeah, they're deciding, you know, maybe I need to go play somewhere else. And that's, again, that's why it's tough to predict, you know, any sort of timeline as to when this news could slow down. But yeah, I mean, right now it is, it's fast and furious.
And one thing I was just thinking here a couple of minutes ago, I understand the declaration dates but that doesn't mean that a player has to transfer or has to announce what school, does it? Just because, I mean, does that mean that you have to announce where you're transferring, that you expect to have immediate eligibility by May 1st? Or do you just announce that you're transferring with the expectation of immediate eligibility by May 1st and then decide after that? That's unclear to me. I'm going to try to see if we can figure that out.
And that's a deadline where if you transferred after that, you wouldn't be eligible for a year.
Yes, I believe so.
I mean, that's
But is it,
because that would
is,
make
is
sense?
It after, is it if you transferred after that, or if you let your original school know that you were going to get
we're in the dark about this, so this will just be best guess. I'm thinking that it would be if you enter the transfer portal, if you decide that you are leaving your current school after this day, you don't get immediate eligibility at the next place you go. Like, I don't know what the rule is. I don't think...
All right, no, let me read.
What is it?
The NCAA's new transfer rule requires players in fall and winter sports to notify their current schools they intend to leave by May 1st.
Okay, so, but what is...
But
that doesn't mean they can't leave on May 2nd. I mean, does it? I mean, the way you...
Well, it just says they have to notify them by May 1st. It doesn't say they have to transfer by May 1st.
So, but so I'm still wondering what you, so what can you do on May 2nd? Can you not transfer?
Oh, you can transfer, but if you have not notified your school, then you waive your right to
immediate eligibility.
To immediate eligibility. But I'm thinking also, if you notify your school in April, I don't know that you have to have made a decision.
Oh, no, I don't. I think that's a deadline to enter the portal.
Right. I think it
not
is.
Exit. Not right. Exit. Yeah. I would agree. I could see why they would want, you know, they would want a day where if you want to transfer
all the players that are available with immediate eligibility.
Yes, they would want a day where if you transfer after this date, you possibly lose immediate eligibility, because otherwise it could be.
You know what's going to happen. There are going to be some that miss it and then try and then appeal for immediate eligibility.
Sure, they'll use the waiver, but it's but otherwise, I mean, it could be like this until the beginning of the fall term,
yes.
Right? I mean, you could see various.
Yeah, that's what they don't want. They don't want players like Justin Ferguson was saying yesterday. They don't want players starting fall practice at one school and after a day or two going, I don't like this. I don't fit here. I want to go somewhere else, and being eligible that fall at another school.
I read somewhere that Devontae Jones from Coastal, the Sun Belt Player of the Year, right, who jumped into the portal today, I think he's like the fourth or fifth mid-major conference player of the year currently in the portal.
Right. That does not surprise me at all.
I mean,
why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean,
you think Coastal would take him back?
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean,
so what's he got to lose?
You're right. There's absolutely no downside aside from, you know, the possibility of hard feelings from the program. I mean,
unless
you're
a real, you know, jerk.
Look, we love Cliff Ellis. I mean, we understand why people want to stay.
The player is just really someone who is like, oh, thank God he decided to transfer. But if you're player of the year, most likely they could tolerate you coming back.
You know what's interesting about that is that I wonder if it'll change the attitude as far as, like, it used to be that if you were, like, let's say you're a great player on a bad Power 5 team. Mm-hmm. You're one of the best players in the conference, but your team is in last place or second to last place. You know, it used to be a sign of character to stay, right? Like, people would say, wow, look how loyal they are, because they're staying at, you know, they're staying with this program and they're staying with this coach. But now, wouldn't people almost, like, wouldn't you almost subject yourself to criticism by staying in that situation instead of moving to a place where you could, I don't know. Like, I just wonder if the philosophy could change to where now.
I think you're right. I think you're going to hear some criticism of the players who dominate at the smaller schools.
Yeah. I mean, it's in a way that,
it's like, he doesn't want to see what he's like against real competition. And
which is such a weird, like, that's not a criticism we would have thrown at Steph Curry. Right?
No,
like,
not at all.
Why is he afraid of the big stage? But I do think, and not that we're going to do that, but I wonder if, you know, someone who likes their place in the group of five and wants to stay will be criticized for that decision now that it's so easy to move on and jump into major college basketball.
Did you see the quote from Michigan State coach Mel Tucker talking about how they handle the portal? They have, by the way, had 13 players transfer out and 14 players transfer in. That's mind-blowing. He says, quote, we have someone that monitors the portal, sits there and presses refresh every 30 minutes.
I mean, is he hiring?
That's their job.
Sounds like a pretty...
just hit refresh. Hey, there's a new one.
Yeah. They got a big board, probably. That's, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't sound like... I would guess that I'm thinking he's being serious, that there is somebody whose job it is to monitor the transfer
portal.
Well,
if you've had more than a dozen transfer in and out, yeah, you better have somebody whose job it is to sit there and be monitoring it, at least on a daily basis.
Maybe that's not the only thing that person does all day, but I'm sure that part of their duties is making sure.
Right. Don't miss anybody.
Don't miss anybody. And
let's be one of the first to contact every single player in the portal.
And I bet you Mel Tucker's not the only... He's not the only football program with somebody constantly observing the portal, and men's basketball is watching it as closely as anybody.
Yeah, we will uh, We'll see. I heard some talk this morning nationally about this. And as I was saying the other day, look for at some point, not right now, but after the dust settles from this, look for the NCAA to add some academic requirements to try to slow this down a little bit. On the other side, look for a push from players to not have it be a one-time thing.
If you wanted to slow this down, I don't know if necessarily if the NCAA, like, I don't know how badly they want to slow it down, because I also think they like the idea of programs like Duke and Kentucky and Kansas men's basketball being able to get a lot better after one down year by raiding the group of five and getting back. I don't know. I wonder.
Yeah, and you see what Nick Saban said about this?
What did Nick Saban say?
Nick Saban said, well, our better players aren't going to be leaving anyway.
He's probably right.
Yeah.
At Alabama.
So it's like it's not a concern. He says it's not a concern to him. He likes it because his better players aren't going to be leaving, but they might improve their team through the transfer portal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just like you're saying, the haves are going to have even more.
Of course. And the have-nots, if you want to call Group of Five or Power Five or people outside the – I mean, they also, as we've mentioned – With somebody like with South Alabama, like they've been able to go get a couple of former Auburn players. You're seeing Group of Five programs add
whether it's players
who have decided to leave the Power Five. Jamal Johnson going to UAB is another example of that. So it's not a total loss for the Group of Five. But yeah, I mean they're having a hard time holding on to their players, and it totally makes sense. And I'm not sure if the NCAA wanted to slow it down. I mean, I guess you could put, you know, what do you make transfers count as a scholarship and a half or something? You do something like that with football and men's basketball. You put some disincentive on accepting transfers by making them count more than the average recruit. If you wanted to,
I don't think the NCAA is going to move in that direction. I think they're just going to try to be stricter on the academic progress and just make sure that players that are doing this were really progressing and will not fall behind transferring.
The graduate transfer thing started as a loophole for completely academic reasons, right? And look what it's sort of mushroomed into 15, 20 years later.
334-321-1390. I'm thinking we'll run. There's so much audio that we have gotten from players and coaches, football players and coaches this spring, that we haven't had a chance to run. I know a lot of folks are coming in town for A-Day, and we welcome your calls, questions, comments, but I would imagine some of you haven't had a chance to hear. You may have read some of the comments, but you may not have had a chance to hear a lot of the interviews with players and coaches. So we'll go through some of them as we move on through the Friday edition of The Drive.
You're live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Bad camera work. Welcome back into The Drive. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio. Got Drew at the controls. Again, we'll check in with Sonny Smith here after our bottom of the hour break. We'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, I've seen in a couple of places that the SEC is expected to vote tomorrow as to whether or not to continue with the ability to prohibit players from transferring within the conference without sitting out. So it looks like the SEC, I mean, we talked about this the other day with Jason Caldwell, and I would say now that Nick Saban has given his blessing to the one-time transfer rule, that'll go ahead and help push it through.
And I think that the pressure would have been tough. I mean, as Jason was saying, right? It's just it's going to be tough to be a holdout league in that situation. I understand there are programs that may not like it in football and men's basketball, but it just seems like the tide is too strong.
Well, I mean, as soon as one SEC team, and now this is going to go way back. Here's an old baseball analogy: becomes the Kansas City A's to the New York Yankees of if Vandy starts becomes a pipeline to to Auburn, for example, because of the connections with Derek Mason. Well, or Mississippi State became a pipeline to Alabama. Like, go there and develop for a year or so, and then come over and play for the good.
Well, you think it's like there could be an actual varsity JV style relationship with some?
I don't know. I've seen it in professional sports.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that Jerry Stackhouse signed up to be anybody's feeder system, but.
Some players might.
But if Scottie Pippen Jr. wants to come play at Auburn, I mean, I think somebody would find a spot.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, he's in the draft with the option to return.
Right.
I don't know what he's going to decide to do.
Wouldn't it make sense to sort of do that combo thing? Go into the draft with the option to return, or go into the portal.
And I'm all about loyalty, and I want to see Jerry Stackhouse do well. I would totally understand if Scottie Pippen Jr. came back and played somewhere else.
Oh,
because
yeah.
because they were a one man team, and that's a guy that's a really good player. Dessou as well, right? I mean, another guy at Vanderbilt.
They
had a couple of guys.
They did have a couple
of
really good players.
Who could play anywhere. It was a testament to the SEC that the last place team could have two players as good as Pippen Jr. and Dessou.
All right, we will step aside for our bottom of the hour break. Sonny Smith joins us on the other side. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan in the WOW Business Studio. Drew once again at the controls. And we're pleased to be joined once again by Hall of Fame coach and analyst, Sonny Smith. Hey, Sonny, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Hope you guys are.
Oh, yeah. Enjoying the spring-like weather and hoping that the pollen is gone. I mean, everything's going pretty well.
I can go with that pollen being gone. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, no kidding. The pollen has entered the transfer portal and has left.
And it picked Auburn.
Well, I hopefully it's done. Hopefully its eligibility is done.
Me too.
That has been obviously the biggest topic here now that the NCAA has made it official that every player now has a one-time opportunity to transfer without having to sit out. I mean, I understand, and we've talked about this with you before. I guess if you're the NCAA, at least now you don't have to worry about those silly waivers anymore, which we never understood why some players got them and other players didn't.
I think this is a good thing and a bad thing in some ways, because having to replace a guy that just gets unhappy and leaves is not going to be an easy thing. And I think it puts a higher value on recruiting kids that you think you can keep, recruiting kids maybe that's not going to leave in a year to go pro. It may cause you to back off a little bit on a talent to some time by keeping a guy. Now, I'm not sure that's the way it's going to work, but it could possibly work that way.
Yeah, it's going to really be interesting. I mean, there, you know, as we have said, I mean, now there's no guarantees. There's no you really can't have too much of a building process because players, you know, players aren't guaranteed. There's no reason for you to know that they're going to be around for more than a year.
I can only see one thing. It could be a little bit of a problem with this. In the past, you have taken a kid that is maybe not quite what you're looking for, but the potential is there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to take him and hope that he comes around by the time he's a sophomore or a junior. You cannot be looking like that and doing those kind of things anymore. And who it's going to hurt, I don't know. But it could possibly change recruiting in a lot of different ways. I do believe that.
Dan brought up something we were talking a little while ago about the Coastal Carolina player of the year there in the conference entering the transfer portal. And how many did you say that is?
Yeah, I think he became, I heard online, I think the fourth mid-major conference player of the year, either the fourth one currently in the portal or maybe five have gone into the portal during this this off season. You know, it's really changing group of five basketball and making it to where you have to re-recruit your players every year, and some of them it's going to be near impossible to hold on to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you take a guy like Coastal Carolina Cliff Ellis.
Mm-hmm. Heard of him?
He's a real good player. He's going to go on to something bigger. Now that puts a recruiting problem on Cliff also. So it's going to affect the game, whether it's going to be positive or negative. I think you have to wait a little while to see that. But players base how happy they are based most first on playing time and second on the system and third, well, not in any particular order, winning, whether they can win or not.
Mm-hmm.
And how much publicity they can get, you know, that type of thing. Well, I don't know how much this is going to affect those things, but it's certainly going to be a fact.
Yeah, and something we were looking at, I saw a quote from Mel Tucker, the Michigan State football coach, who was talking about having somebody whose job is just to monitor constantly the transfer portal. I guess maybe a good thing, maybe it's creating jobs. Because there are going to have to be more people keeping up with those thousands of players that are going into the transfer portal.
Oh, yeah. Well, most people use a lot of time on their staff. They use graduate assistants or somebody to keep note of that, find out who's might go, who's on the list, that type of thing. That'll become more a part of recruiting for sure.
Well, let's talk about the latest addition to the Auburn program, and that is a big, and I mean literally and figuratively, transfer in Walker Kessler, who now will be eligible to play next year as a sophomore.
Yeah, I like the post play that we had last year from a standpoint of protecting the rim, and that was the only thing that was kind of consistent. The rest of it, did you have a post player that could score? Not very often. And if this kid is a kid that can protect the rim and score points, I think it's a tremendous addition to the Auburn team. Because I don't think we had a scoring post player last year. Unless you want to put Jalen in that category, but actually he needs to be a four man.
Mm-hmm.
He does not need to be a five. You got a five that can protect the rim and can make free throws and score points. You really special. And height is something I think Auburn needs more of.
Well, we're talking with the one and only Sonny Smith on the Friday edition of The Drive. Coach, I'm glad you mentioned Jalen Williams. We've talked on the show a lot about players who could potentially come to Auburn or a few of the players who are, you know, making the decision about whether to stay or try the NBA draft. And there are a couple of players who, you know, all signs seem to point to they'll be on next year's team returning from this year. Jalen Williams, Dylan Cardwell, Chris Moore. And I'd like your thoughts on, like, you know, what the ideal role for those three players could be and what you think they what they do well and what they need to work on as they continue their basketball careers.
Jalen needs to move positions, not playing under the basket. But while he, when he he's going to have to develop two things, be able to put the ball on the floor and make the 15 to 18 footer, which I think he's already pretty proficient at that for sure. I don't know Chris Moore's got to do anything else except just grow as a player. He just needs experience and playing time. And who else did we name in Evan?
I mentioned Dylan Cardwell.
Dylan, the only thing that really that's holding him back just a little bit is he's not an offensive player yet. Should he be able to develop his game into an offensive playing situation, I think he'll – I don't know if he'll be a starter, but he'll certainly be a contributor that I really like. I like his effort. I like the way he practices. Mm-hmm. I like everything about him. Is he a four-man or is he a five-man? I think that's going to be the question for a coach. It's going to be what the question is in his mind, what he thinks he ought to be.
You were talking about height, size. I mean, depending on JT Thor, if JT Thor were to return to Auburn, I believe they'd have five players 6'10 or taller, Sonny. There's never been a team that tall in Auburn history.
Bruce made a point on, I was walking to a thing with him last night, and he made that point. He said, we're going to be so much bigger than we've been in the past and much taller than we've been in the past. And I started to ask him, is that going to make any difference on how you play? But I didn't ask him. That would have been a good question to ask at that point. But, you know, in his style of play, you can be a go-to guy in almost any position. It depends on how good you are. I mean, if you're a good five-man, his offense can be fitted to where you are. Hold on just a second. I'm driving in a car here. I hope I don't lose you guys.
No. Definitely.
Here we're good. We're good.
All right. And I
lost my point I was thinking of right there, but the thing I was thinking about is this. A back-to-the-basket guy that can be a rim protector as well as a scorer is really valuable to what Bruce does. Now, can the other guys that have been playing that, can they adjust to a new position where they got to face the basket most of the time? Or either be a backup. I think that's the real question that we have here.
Yeah, I saw an interview with Walker Kessler and his dad talking about making the decision to come to Auburn. And one of the things that the family really was interested in was how they would fit with Bruce's four out, one in philosophy. But they liked the idea of being on a team with Jabari Smith, who could play inside or go outside, and be able to be out on a wing and utilize his ability to shoot, because Walker was a pretty good 3-point shooter in high school.
So that
would give you big guys, and you can be bringing the other guys, the other team's post out, and creating some mismatches inside.
Well. The thing that jumped out at me about that is Bruce is already doing that type of thing. He will post anybody. You know, if a guy's got a mismatch in the offense that they run, they can take him to the post and post up anytime. Especially I tell you when you see that a lot is at timeouts. After timeouts, Bruce will come up with who's got the mismatch, and that guy will end up where he's going to be in a scoring position. A lot of that is just in with your back to the basket in the post. So I don't think he'll have to change a lot with a big 7-footer playing in the post. I think the player will have to adjust to Bruce's system, and mm-hmm. I think he'll keep doing what he's been doing.
Well, obviously, I mean, Bruce Pearl and Auburn very much on top of the situation here with the transfer portal. Did you get any feeling from him, though, just how he feels about this? It sure looks like they're really on top of it and taking advantage, at least.
Well, the only thing that he said to me was, and I wouldn't be giving any secrets away, he said, we have recruited well.
Mm-hmm.
And we filled in a lot of positions. And I didn't care it any farther than that because we was walking into a situation where a lot of people were there. But I think he feels really good. And I think if we all analyze it, and we do, I think any time he has got a back-to-the-basket score, that can step away from the basket, his team gets a lot better than it would otherwise.
Yeah, and he also appears to have a multi-purpose point guard in Wendell Green Jr., the outstanding freshman from Eastern Kentucky, who is much more of a proven shooter than Sharif Cooper. I don't know that you're going to find anybody who is as adept at passing, but he seems more like a Jared Harper type player.
Well, I don't know enough about him to make a comment about that, but I do hope this. I do hope it looks like the talent level that Bruce has coming in. You don't want a point guard to shoot a lot. You want a point guard that can keep the offense going. And I hope one of those guys that he recruits is able to accept that, to where he's looking more to move the ball to an open guy or move the ball to a guy that's got a mismatch in a position where he can score, than look for his own shot. Because I've always felt like the more the point guard looked for a shot, the harder, the less hard the players work to get open. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you need a point guard that you, if I'm going to work hard to get open, I better get the ball. And I don't know how good these guys are going to be at that. Maybe they will be terrific.
Coach, we've spent so much time on our show focusing about the transfer portal for players. I think some people might be surprised by some of the coaching moves that have been made in college basketball. You haven't had a head coaching change in the SEC, but some very big-time programs have made some of them are surprising moves, some of them more conventional. I'd say the biggest splash is probably Oklahoma reaching over to Loyola Chicago and hiring Porter Moser away after the job he did in Chicago the last couple of years. They have to be excited. Arizona hired Tommy Lloyd, who has worked at Gonzaga for the last 20 years, the only place he's ever worked in college basketball as the assistant to Mark Few. Now he's the head coach at Arizona, and quite a few second generation coaches getting big jobs. Kevin Kruger at UNLV, Lon Sun, Ryan Odom got the Utah State job. Of course, Ryan Odom won that huge game at UMBC a couple years ago against Virginia
in the
NCAA tournament. Mark Prosser, the late Skip Prosser's son, got the Winthrop job. Any move or hire that stood out to you from the last few weeks?
Well, I didn't keep up with it enough to make a comment, but I will say this: I hope Dave Odom's son does as well at Utah State as he did turning that program up there in Maryland. And he is he's a terrific young man. I've met him, but I've never seen him coach except on television. But I would think that anybody can go to Utah State and turn it around is going to be a great coach, and he has that reputation.
Well, it's continued us talking, and that's one thing. I don't know. Even when Auburn made the Final Four run, I think this transfer portal and all the movement and everything here has kept people more interested in college basketball than I could ever recall, Sonny.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Who's transferring here? Where? Who's going? Will you be able to keep them? I wonder, the one question I think would be good for your listeners and you guys to talk about it is, how much of an effect is this going to be on coaches' jobs? You know, mm-hmm. where these guys are one and done anytime they want to be. Is it going to make the jobs more difficult for coaches to hang on, or is it going to be just the opposite of that? I don't think anything remains the same, but. I think there's a real question mark how good this is going to be for coaches as far as keeping their jobs.
Coach, I'm not sure college basketball fans were renowned for their patience before the transfer portal, but now, I mean, I think if you look at a program like Indiana or Arizona that just made a coaching change, I'm not sure those fan bases are going to be as patient as they used to be, because now you look and, I mean, you can conceivably turn it around in 1 year if you bring in the right players from the transfer portal. And I'm not saying that's what people should expect, but I wonder if that's what fan bases will expect, is immediate results. Because
I think they will expect it. I think expectations have gone up with the way. Well, you could say, well, we graduated three guys, four guys. They said, well, go get your grad.
Right.
Transfer.
Go get an undergrad that was a grade in a smaller school.
I suspect that.
Go get one of those, because it's going to be easier to get them now than was before.
Yeah,
I think anytime you get paid what coaches get paid today, anytime they bring up something that can improve your program overnight, like one transfer, I think it puts more pressure on the coach. I think he has to win. Especially with the amount of pay that they get these days. It's easier to fire a guy that makes a lot of money unless he's got a long-term deal, because they don't have to pay him as much as they do.
They make a lot of money, Coach, but they're going to have to spend a lot of it on antacids, right, with the transfer portal and what it's doing to the day-to-day roster management.
Well, roster management is going to be unbelievable. I that's a good point right there. And you know what? You get a guy that's got a built-in system. He recruits to his system. That's going to be awfully difficult to do, because you don't know how long you're going to keep him, and he doesn't know if that system fits him. It's going to be a question mark in the coach's mind, also in the player's mind. For a guy that just coaches a certain system, and you got to play within that system, is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no question about it. The pressure just continues to increase. Sonny, we really appreciate you spending a little time with us. Every time we get that opportunity, we really enjoy it. So thanks again, and have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend also. Enjoyed being with you guys.
All righty. Sonny Smith joining us here on the Friday Drive. We need to get to our final break of hour number one. Stick with us.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. Time to churn up some more yardage on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final minute or so of hour number one of The Drive here on this Friday. Bill and Dan, and again, we'd love for you to join in with your questions, comments. What are you going to be looking for tomorrow if you're going to A-Day? Well, even if you're not, if you're able to watch it, what do you, what do you hope to see? If we get the opportunity in hour number two, we'll run some audio. Thought we'd let you hear, we've talked about the tight ends a good bit. Thought we'd let you listen to Luke Deal, who... Yeah, yesterday you asked, could he be the real deal? Well, he's been a big deal, literally, this spring. But your calls come first on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. Stick with us for hour number two of the Friday Drive.
The sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, hour number two here on this Friday. And Bill and Dan coming to you from the WOW Business Studio.
That's right. You can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com.
And hour number two of The Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we welcome your calls, questions, comments on the Kia of Auburn hotline, Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through, 334-321-1390. I thought you had something else you wanted to do.
You know what? Well, we talked to Sonny Smith in the previous hour for quite a few minutes, and it was good stuff. If you missed our talk with Sonny Smith in the previous hour, you can catch it after the show is over as a podcast. Podcasts of The Drive are available wherever you listen to podcasts. You can get it at the Podcast Center at ESPNAU.com, the ESPN 106.7 app, Apple, Google, Spotify. Just search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. It's all presented by the Alabama Farmers Federation. Visit alphafarmers.org to find out more about the Ag Tag.
And, you know, in hour number one, we talked, as you said, we talked with Sonny Smith. We talked some A-Day. And, again, we'd love your thoughts on, you know, who do you think could stand out tomorrow? Who would you like to see stand out tomorrow? We'll get back into a little football talk here in a little bit. We did not mention in hour number one, man, another tough loss for Auburn baseball last night in Tuscaloosa, and a game back and forth and a little bit of home run derby. But Auburn could never really get the lead and hold the lead last night. It was probably one of the worst struggles for Cody Greenhill as a starter. He really wasn't his usual self. Came out, and then Richard Fitz came in and looked very good. I mean, he looked great, except for two pitches that left the ballpark. And then Auburn took the lead. Alabama tied it, goes to extra innings, and Alabama wins in the bottom of the 10th, 8-7. That is 7 one-run losses for Auburn baseball in conference.
It's, I mean, it really is. They've found, you know, the end of game or late inning struggles for Auburn, and it's not as though there's one thing you can point to, right? That's been the reason why, you know, it seems to go south for Auburn in conference play in these late inning situations. But yeah, it's just been another walk off or last inning loss for Auburn, and it comes in Tuscaloosa to start the weekend series.
Game two of that 3-game series coming up tonight at 6 o'clock, and it is available. The only way you can watch it is if you have SEC Plus. So that's where that is.
Which is also how you can watch A-Day tomorrow.
If that is correct.
It's same network that will air tomorrow's spring game for the Auburn football team.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. And let's get to the phone. And Slack is up. Hey, Slack, how you doing?
I'm good. How y'all guys doing?
Doing fine.
That was my question. Where do we say we can see the game? A-Day game.
So the game will be televised on the SEC Network Plus, or the, you know, it used to be the extension, right? It's the,
it used to be alternate.
The alternate, yeah, the SEC Network alternate feed or whatever. But it's the depending on your cable provider, you may not have it, but it's the alternate channel that they use when there are multiple SEC Network events going on. It's sort of like SEC Network 2, but it's that will have the that will be the only place that you can watch on television the Auburn spring game tomorrow.
Okay, because Bama's playing the same time. Right?
Yeah, and they're on ESPN. They actually start. I think Alabama starts at noon.
They put us on the channel from Dodgeball, and they put
on the flagship
Alabama on ESPN.
Yeah.
So who's on CSS?
I don't think the SEC Network is carrying a spring game tomorrow. I think they probably got baseball.
Yeah, probably. I would guess there's a baseball game on SEC Network tomorrow.
Okay. So did we ever come up with an answer about evaluating guys possibly on campus or how they getting evaluated?
No, I haven't spoken to anybody who really knew for sure.
Answer that question.
He might have. I forgot. I just completely forgot. Didn't think about asking him.
Okay. Jalen Williams. I heard you ask a question about Jalen. I think Jalen's game will get better this year because more people on the floor can get him the ball more. Or get him the ball correctly.
Yeah, and you know, I like his passing ability too. I mean, he passes the ball pretty well for a big guy. No, I definitely could see him.
Yeah, the kid that we picked up from North Carolina, I think he wanted to be more perimeter,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's why he's here at Auburn.
Yeah, he wanted to be able to go on the perimeter, not just be somebody who's locked inside. He has some good post moves, but he wanted to be able to go out and show face his up. Perimeter game as well.
Face up the basket.
Uh-huh.
Right. You know, and I think that's why Jalen's game will be better because, I mean, I'm not putting anybody in a starting lineup, but you could possibly see him start at the five.
Well, and when you mentioned Walker Kessler, and that's one where we have no idea what was going on behind the scenes at North Carolina, but I could see, I mean, again, depending on what Walker Kessler sees as his strong suits and what he wants his game to eventually be, you know, I could see some conflict between an old fashioned coach who wants Walker Kessler around the basket and Walker Kessler wanting to play like Dirk Nowitzki. Like, you know, I could see how that, you know, that could, that, you know, again, not knowing anything, but I could see how, and in Walker Kessler's defense, in today's NBA, he needs a jump shot. Like, he needs to be someone who can shoot, or he'll go the way of a lot of centers without jump shots who, you know, were on NBA rosters for a very brief amount of time and now are doing something else. So I could see why, if you know, Walker Kessler for his professional development, he probably needs to be someone who is a threat from distance.
Yeah, and you know, even the kid that's coming in from Georgia, he faces the basket as well. He's not mainly a post guy.
Yeah, I mean I think it plays into, again, being a game where anybody could be outside on the perimeter with the ability to shoot, while, as Sonny said, you know, there's no telling who's going to be under the basket.
That's Jalen Williams' job. That's what I'm saying. With Kessler facing the basket and away from the basket, Jalen's going to get more opportunities to score inside the paint. That's why I say his game's going to get better this coming season.
Man, there are just so many possibilities for the combination of talent that there is on this team.
Oh, yeah. I'm just excited for the opportunity just to have more people who can put the ball in the basket. You know, you can sit here and you can say, well, he can give you 10, he can give you 20, he can give you 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can easily come up with 80 points.
Yeah,
five or six guys already. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there are a lot of different guys that can score 15 or 20 anytime.
Right, exactly. And so all you need is role players that can rebound the ball, make good passes, and not make bad mistakes, you know.
Right, and there's going to be and there's going to be an emphasis on defense more than ever because a lot of teams in the league, to take nothing away from the job that Bruce Pearl and his coaches have done assembling this roster since the season ended and going out and finding guys they wanted in the transfer portal and convincing them to come to Auburn. But a lot of other schools in the SEC feel really good about the job they've done in the transfer portal this offseason. Kentucky and Florida and Arkansas. South Carolina's added five players in the transfer portal since the season ended. I mean, so there, LSU went out and got Xavier Pinson. So, I mean, it's going to be you got to be able
to. Alabama gets Damari Burnett on top of the.
I mean,
you know,
it's
signees.
It's going to be a league with a whole bunch of teams that feature score laden lineups, and part of it's going to be who can play some defense.
With that in mind, what did Mississippi State do to convince Garrison Brooks to go to Mississippi State?
Well, Garrison's wanted to play for his dad since he was in high school.
I understand that, but did he take a step down from North Carolina?
Well, I think he's looking at it as an opportunity to play in the SEC, and I mean, he had a really good career. Maybe you can see a lot of the guys at North Carolina just I think they were just ready for a change.
Yeah, I wonder if Hubert Davis is going to have to, and we'll see. You know how willing or you know, how much he wants to embrace current trends in basketball. Like I wonder if North Carolina is going to see a completely different roster next year, and some of that could be from the transfer portal, some of that could be from the high school ranks. You know, I wonder if it's just sort of time for a change at North Carolina. And it sounded like Garrison Brooks, he didn't want to stick around, and this is an opportunity to play in the SEC for his dad. Ben Howland has had some good teams there at Mississippi State. I mean, it's not terribly surprising to me.
Okay. Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate the call, Slack. 334-321-1390. Yeah, one of the things...
And he'll play a lot, too, if he stays
healthy.
Oh,
you know that.
That's the other thing. Like, some of these teams... Not that Garrison Brooks needs to be afraid of playing time or sharing minutes, but at a place like Mississippi State, I mean, he's got... You know, there's not a ton of pressure on... from other players pressing Garrison Brooks, in the day. Like, he's going to have... He's going to have quite a bit of freedom offensively, and he'll have the opportunity to have a great senior year.
Again, A-Day coming up tomorrow. We're going to let you hear some audio here in a little bit, and well, also, I tell you what, why don't we go ahead? One thing I didn't get to yesterday, and I think will be fun to watch tomorrow, is the secondary with the number of athletes and guys who can play. A couple of spots. Cornerback, last year was a concern. Roger McCreary, a very pleasant surprise that he is returning after, having the ability to go on to the NFL this past year. And, he's your most proven commodity there at corner. But you had two other guys in Jalen Simpson and Nehemiah Pritchett who started and played pretty well, I thought, as youngsters last year in their first full years of playing. So the one of the first things we saw this spring was Nehemiah Pritchett moving to the nickel, Ladarius Tennyson moving from the nickel to a safety, and Jalen Simpson stepping in as, at least early on, the other corner opposite Roger McCreary. So, I mean, that's something that, I expect to see that again tomorrow. There's some other guys, though, that you can't, I don't think you can rule out. I mean, you've got the junior college transfer in Kamal Haddon, who is coming in. Marco Domio missed some practice early on. The junior college transfer from last year. And you don't bring in junior college players in the secondary or anywhere, really, without expecting them to be able to play.
Or at the very least, compete. I mean, you're not going to, you don't guarantee a guy anything, but that's not a long-term project when you're dealing with a junior college player with only a couple years of eligibility remaining. Secondary will be really, I think there's a lot of excitement around Tennyson. There are folks who wanted to see more of him last year, mm-hmm. and you should get the chance although maybe not at the nickel or at where people thought he was working for much of last year as Christian Tutt's backup. This is going to be seemingly as Jamien Sherwood's replacement, right? As
right.
The safety.
Yeah, that's where we've seen him, because Smoke Mundy is your the proven guy there at safety. I think a lot of people thought Chris Thompson might be, you'd see Smoke and Chris Thompson, but every time we've had an opportunity, it's been Smoke Mundy and then Chris as the number two guy behind Smoke with Ladarius Tennyson there at the other safety. I think, it'll be interesting to see if Zion Puckett is healthy enough to practice or to play tomorrow in the A-Day game and see exactly where he would slot. Would it be there at that safety spot? Because the other guy we saw as the fourth safety throughout the spring was Auburn High product, Trey Elston. So, I mean, there's a guy that, there hasn't been much talk about, but both times we had the opportunity to watch practice, he was the number two guy at the other safety behind Ladarius Tennyson.
I want to see, we don't know what what Zion Puckett's status is for the spring.
Yeah, we don't know what players are definitely ruled out for tomorrow.
I would imagine that Zion Puckett will have a say in the depth chart and what it looks like at safety if he's healthy and able to contribute. And there's, I mean, yeah. What's Domeo's status? What's the latest on?
I mean, last time we saw him,
he was out there, right?
Yeah, he had missed. Remember the first day that we were out there, he was running with the backups at corner behind Jalen Simpson, and you had Malcolm Askew and Eric Reed. Eric Reed's another interesting one. I wonder I thought of him more as a safety, but he was working at corner. I'm wondering where he will be tomorrow because there's another young guy with some talent.
Right, and Derek Mason, you know, a highly thought of secondary coach in his own right before becoming the head coach at Vanderbilt. He had some very successful years at Stanford and was an NFL position coach as a defensive back. Zach Etheridge, celebrated safety here at Auburn.
And the players really seem to be taking to both Zach and Coach Mason.
Absolutely. So and they've got talent to work with, and the secondary, you know, that they're, as much as people like to see big passing plays and you know, showy offensive performances in the spring game, I think you got some defensive backs that would like to put on a show themselves tomorrow and raise a few eyebrows.
Yeah, and a couple of other guys. I mean, I didn't mention Amari Harvey, a true freshman who had been working there at the nickel. Devin Geis, the Opelika product, also working at the nickel.
Returning for his senior year.
Right, for another senior year. That's right. So, I mean, there are just so many. And then this fall, you'll add in the West Virginia transfer, Dreshawn Miller. How is he going to figure there in the secondary, along with a couple of other incoming freshmen and Juwan Gaston and Caden Bridges? So, I mean, a lot of numbers, you know, I believe that's 20 players in the secondary. That is a lot. That's a lot of players and should be, provide great depth for the Auburn secondary, and something to really be fun to watch tomorrow against the lack of depth that Auburn has at wide receiver. So that's going to be a great opportunity for the young receivers when there is so much depth there in the secondary.
Absolutely, and those are two positions where, for different reasons, you got a lot of excitement and a lot of players that people are looking forward to seeing.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. And we'll run some audio for you as we move on through hour number two as well here on the Friday Drive.
Now, more of The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the Wild Business Studio. Braves trying to close out a win, but Will Smith making it very interesting. Braves may have had another injury as Ozzie Albies hit by a pitch on the knee. And when you look up and you see Pablo Sandoval, what an unbelievable story he's been with a pinch hit homers so far this year. But when Pablo Sandoval's running for Ozzie Albies, you know that he can't move around.
Drew, get ready to dump Bill's mic, depending on what happens.
Depending on what happens here. I told him to throw fastballs, so whatever. I thought that was three. I guess not. Anyway, we're going to run some audio from Luke. You want to stick here and see if the Braves get away? They have been a team that is really a streak team. They lost their first four. They won their next four. They lost their next four. And now they won yesterday. So they're trying to put
together. Strike away from getting Josh.
Well, they got
Peterson.
The bases loaded. Will Smith has walked the bases loaded and then struck out the side. It's the old Don Stanhouse full pack save. That's what Earl Weaver used to call him. As, sorry, Drew, Cubs lose. Man, they're
Will Smith.
They can't hit.
Will Smith gets this save, but I mean, I wonder if there's going to be some some teeth grinding the next time he goes out there? You're not worried at all after
he didn't give up a run.
He didn't give up a run. No. You're right. I mean, and you're seeing
threw a lot of pitches though.
You're seeing
speaking of baseball. Fernando is back.
Oh, is that right?
Tatis okay. Activated in time. What a series coming up this weekend out on the West Coast.
Yeah, really excited.
Dodgers and the Padres.
Should be some great baseball this weekend with the Dodgers and the Padres looking like two of the best teams in the National League. Maybe the two best teams in the National League, depending on
right now they appear to be. The two best teams,
and they should have a really interesting early series between. I mean, the Dodgers playing so well, and the Padres with a lot of talent.
Well, Padres are 9-5. Dodgers are 11-2. You are talking about next gen coaches. The Padres with a next gen starter tonight, as a former major leaguer David Weathers' son Ryan. Getting the start for the Padres.
That's right. How about that? Another connection with the speaking of Fernando.
Major League Baseball.
Tatis as well.
Major League Baseball has so many, you know, sons of former major leaguers.
Yeah, there were even ones. Bill's referring, by the way, to the Sonny Smith segment. I mentioned a couple of coaches who had gotten jobs in the offseason here in college basketball. It is strange, probably. I mean, it's not common to have a year where the SEC doesn't make a change, right? No SEC program makes a change. Are we now on two straight years of no? Because I don't think there was a first year coach in the SEC this year in men's basketball, unless I'm forgetting somebody. I mean, Musselman's in year two.
Yeah,
Stackhouse is in year two.
Peterson.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And now we'll go into another year, seemingly with every SEC coach returning for another go round. And but around the country, you haven't seen that in every conference. There have been some big changes. And yeah, mentioned a couple of them to Sonny, including a lot of second generation coaches, guys with familiar last names: Patino, Odom, Prosser. Getting jobs. Lon Kruger's son got hired at UNLV. So I mean, you're seeing, some schools going to the next generation.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what we can do for a couple of minutes, because I hate to only run a minute or so of a player interview. We're gonna let you hear, and we'll do it after the bottom of the hour. So we'll hold the Luke Deal. Interview here for a little while.
And the reason we should mention, I mean, Luke Deal, you know, the reason, because I think some people who maybe haven't been paying, you know, they haven't been following the spring with rapt attention, you know, they might be wondering.
Like, he right now, with John Samuel Schenker playing baseball, he appears to be at the top of the depth chart at tight end. He and Tyler Fromm.
And we talked to Jason Caldwell earlier in the week about Luke Deal and Tyler Fromm, and the fact that, I mean, yes, there is optimism from the program and from the coaches about what J.J. Pegues could eventually be as a defensive lineman because of his size and his athleticism, and the fact that he's so new to the position that there could be, you know, he could be a really, really good defensive lineman. But you don't move him off tight end if you don't feel good about what you've got at that position. I mean, that is a reflection of how well Tyler Fromm and Luke Deal and to an extent Brendan Frazier, although you don't hear as much about Frazier lately in the spring, but I don't want to ignore him.
No, don't rule. You absolutely can't rule him out because he is a. He is a king sized receiver.
Yeah, he's nobody's afterthought. And then Landon King, speaking of kings, is also in that mix. So I mean, it's just part of the reason, you know, Luke Deal sounds like he's somebody who could have a much larger and different role in the Mike Bobo Brian Harsin offense as opposed to what Auburn has been doing for recent years.
And I think you can put both of those names in your, maybe that's someone who could really stand out tomorrow. Either of, or both of those two young men, Luke Deal and Tyler Fromm.
Sure. And maybe, I mean, some of the things they do well won't catch your eye. You know, I mean.
Oh, but I think they're going to have an opportunity to do some things that you'll notice more. And that's catch the ball. I do think there will be the tight ends are going to be much more involved. Boy, does that sound like a broken record?
Well, no, but you know, what I would say about the tight end being more involved, and yes, we've said it before when previewing an Auburn offense, especially an Auburn offense that's changed something, right? Well, what this
we heard that. I mean, that's all we heard. Not all we heard, but we heard so much about that with Chad Morris.
Right, and I would think that one difference that could result in more touches for the tight ends would be, I don't think Mike Bobo wants Bo Nix rolling out and trying to make plays with his legs as frequently as maybe
I agree.
He was encouraged to do in years past. And in those situations, he might be expected to dump the ball off to a running back or a tight end. We've heard that the running backs are getting more involved in the passing game as well. And I wonder if there's a desire to see Bo, you know, utilize a safety blanket, whether it's a tight end or a running back, you know, instead of trying to go out and make plays with his legs. And that could open things up to at least more catches for tight ends.
Oh, I agree. We'd love for you to join in. Again, 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. If we get an opportunity, we'll let you hear from Auburn tight end Luke Deal when we come back for the final half hour of the Friday Drive.
Let's get back to the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
So, welcome back in. Final 25 minutes of the Friday Drive with Bill and Dan. Drew at the controls. And we'll get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Terry is up first. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Dan. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Great. Hey, Bill, you guys talking about the secondary a while ago. Just how deep is Auburn in the secondary? What are they, a good 8, 10 deep?
Well, I've got 20 players on my depth chart of 5 spots. That's pretty good. That's pretty deep.
That's really good.
I mean, I think
18 of them are scholarship.
And that's not to say that, you know, you'll see all 18 of them.
Oh no, no,
rotating.
There's no way you're going to see 18. unless you're really struggling.
I mean, I think the idea would probably be to have. I mean, you're going to have 5 or maybe even 6 defensive backs on the field quite a bit because of the offenses you face these days, and you know, 3 backups, 4 backups. I mean, that gets you to 10 right there.
Well, I mean, the secondary is only as good as a pass rush, let's be honest. So what's Auburn going to like from the off the edge there?
Well, that's the big question. How are those guys going to do? And that'll be a fun thing. You know, here's one way to look at it is no matter what, you're going to have some people that aren't happy. Because if they show a big pass rush tomorrow, it's going to be, oh, crap, the tackles are just no good. If they don't, the tackles are good and protect, then it's going to be, well, there's no pass rush. So, you know, you're going to sort of lose either way.
I predict that secondary will pick off Bo Nix at least twice. Now, by the way, Dan, I don't like anchovies on my pizza at all.
Oh yeah, well, you know,
Neither do I. Thank you.
Yeah, well, who does? But he got a lot of time between now and then, Terry. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, like I said, who knows? Secondary is definitely by the way you were talking, Bill, the strength of the team.
I think it's definitely one, if not the yes.
But what is the kicking game going to look like next year?
Well, you've got a great place kicker coming back. I mean,
that.
We
all know that.
And I've heard he's had just a fabulous spring. I don't know. I mean, right now, I'm not sure who has the edge from, you know, Oscar Chapman or Aiden Marshall. I'm not sure who the punter is.
Who was punting at the end of the season? Do you remember offhand? Was it Chapman?
They were still in different situations using one or the other. Chapman
That's
at times was the long punter, and Marshall was more the short punter.
Yeah, I'm right along with you, Bill. I seem to remember both of them kicking late in the year. Did it really matter? They were a bad team with a horrible quarterback. So, right, Dan?
Well, Auburn last year was a bad team with a horrible quarterback?
But what's more impressive about Bo Nix, Dan? That 15 wins or that no bowl wins?
Well, they were, what were they, fourth or fifth in the SEC?
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
I mean,
right?
that's not great, but that's, they're...
No, that's a long way from great.
But two-thirds of the league were worse.
That's true. Right in the middle. I mean, I've always said, though, if Auburn ranks in the top three in offense and can be average on defense, they're going to be really good. Really good. If they rank the other way around, they're going to be really bad. And they were really bad. So, or really averagely, very, very much.
Yeah, they weren't a top three defense last year either,
no.
though.
No, they weren't close to a top three defense last year.
True. You guys have a great weekend.
All right, Terry, you too. 334-321-1390.
You want to try to run a little loop?
Yeah, let's do. Let's do. We've talked
help
about
people forget about
bit,
that call.
And I think you're going to see big number 86 out there a good bit tomorrow. And yes, earlier we had a chance to talk with the young tight end Luke Deal.
It's definitely different. We're all having a good time right now. It's definitely difficult. It's more of a pro-style offense, and we're having to learn a lot of different things, which was early on was tough. We're starting to get used to things, and now it's like you said, it's a little more fun, a little more advanced, and we're enjoying it. We're a big part of the offense right now, so that's something that everybody's looking forward to for this season.
Okay. Next question, Bill Cameron.
Luke, talk about you specifically, what you feel like you've been able to improve on and what you feel like you need to work on the best as the spring continues.
Yes, sir. Last year, really focused hard on my blocking and being physical at the point of attack. And being in the SEC, you kind of get trained on the run with that, which was good. But this year, I feel more like I'm trying to develop as a full tight end, being able to do those things, go out and spread out, do some of those things, be in line, and not really have as many weaknesses like that. What I'm trying to accomplish right now this spring is I'm trying to get just a little bit faster each and every day. That's what I'm working on, because we all know in the SEC you got to be fast, fast and physical, and I feel like that's just something I need to work on, and like I said, we're excited as a group. I'm excited as a tight end, man. I'm ready to get going.
Next question is Gianna Hahn.
Hey Luke, we got the news about JJ moving over to defensive line. What was kind of the conversation? What did he tell you guys, and how have you seen him make that transition?
Yeah, it was kind of bittersweet. We all are really, really good friends with JJ, and we are actually, funny story, we were telling our coach, we were debating on whether or not to kick him out of the group chat, and we were all like, no, we want him to stay just for the heck of it. So we love JJ, but we feel like that's a place where he's going to thrive. He's a freak athlete he's just a great guy. And like I said, everybody on the team loves him, so it's not really going to be detrimental anywhere.
Question from Jordan Hill.
I want to ask just about the competition with you guys still there at tight end with Brandon and Tyler, just what that's been like of you guys getting the guys that have some experience competing with each other this spring.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when we first got here, there wasn't as much experience. And, of course, everybody, when they get there, it's all a shock and everything's different. It's college football. But now we got a few guys that have been there, have gotten those game reps, and including myself. And I feel like each and every day we're going out there to compete. We're going out there and breeding to get better every single day. So, I mean, I love it. I love the competition aspect of it. I think everybody else in the room does. I know Coach Bedell does. So it's been really good so far.
We'll go to Justin Ferguson.
Hey, Luke, we've seen the tight ends a little bit during practice have to play some fullback and do some of the stuff out of the eye. How's that adjustment been, and do you enjoy kind of doing that stuff now?
Oh, I love it. I'm going to be honest with you. I played a little bit of it in high school, not much. I mostly played quarterback, so I haven't really had that much experience with it. But when Coach Bedell was telling us and Coach Bobo was introducing the offense and we got the chance to do some of that old school I-formation fullback type stuff, man, I love it. You just got to be physical and go out there and read. You get a better chance to read the defense and, like I said, just let loose and play. So I love it.
Next, go to Tom Green.
Hey, Luke, just want to ask you specifically about Brandon and just like how you've seen him develop when he first got here now.
Absolutely. Brandon, like JJ, is one of my best friends, so I'm sure he wouldn't mind me talking about him a little bit. Brandon, when he got in, man, he was a little shy, a little worried about how he could develop in the offense. But now, man, he's thriving. He's catching on to things a lot quicker. He has gotten a lot stronger, more physical. And that's really everybody's problem when they get in, mine included. When I first got here, you go over there and you're on that practice field and you get hit a few times. You're like, oh, I'm going to have to change some things. So I think he's done a good job of that. He's been really physical and working on his feet and his hands. And like I said, the whole tight end group, man, we're excited to be in a physical downhill offense. And it kind of fits us better.
Follow up from Jason Caldwell.
Another one of those guys that one of your friends is Tyler. How much have you seen him develop in terms of physically? He's always had the hands, but you know, stronger, more physical, and what does he bring to the offense?
Absolutely. I'm really impressed with Tyler. He's come in and become a completely different tight end in this offense. And part of that, I think, was because of what he did in the weight room. I mean, if you just go back and look at it, I mean, he went up on every major lift and worked really hard. He was in my group, and we always worked hard. So he's gotten bigger, stronger, and like you said, he's always had some good hands. So he's starting to feel more comfortable and starting to go into his element in this offense. So I'm really excited to see what he does too.
Question from Mark Murphy.
Yeah, anything in particular you're working on this spring and getting better?
Yes, sir. I mean, every day trying to work on speed, natural ball skills, so that, like I said, in the years past, I haven't really had that duty in the offense to go out and catch a bunch of different balls. But right now, that's what I'm focused on doing. I want to be able to do all those things. I want to catch the ball, I want to block, I want to be everything that this team needs me to be. So that's what I'm trying to work on, is really just natural ball skills, adjusting to the ball, and top end speed.
If you have a question for Luke, please put it in the chat. We'll go to Jordan Hill.
Just I wanted to ask about Lane McKean. Just how have you seen him adjust, you know, through his first winter and his first spring at the college level?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So everybody, when they come in, like I said earlier in another question, it's kind of a shock for you. Everybody comes in, it's like, wow, everything's going on. I think he's done a really good job of handling that. We're getting thrown a lot of install, and for a freshman to be able to go in and get major reps like that is really, really key. And it's really, really good to see, because like I said, it's a lot of stuff. It's tough. It's a big, big difference from the high school game. And I think he's done a really good job of taking it all in, processing it, and trying to learn from it. So I'm proud of him.
Next question is Nathan King.
Hey, Luke, you're talking about catching more passes this spring, trying to work on that. What have you noticed? Obviously, you're not a receiver, but the differences in the passing game with Coach Bobo's offense as opposed to the offenses you were working with here before?
Absolutely. So really, like I said, it's a pro-style offense, and with pro-style offenses, what you're going to get is a downhill physical run game, and then off of that, you're going to get explosive passes. So everything kind of sets up everything, which is really cool, especially for a hybrid-type player like a tight end. So I think we're really thriving in that part of the offense, and we're excited about it.
And question from Gianna Hahn.
Just wanted to ask John Samuels Shanker, one, his leadership, but also how he's been handling and the coaches have been handling the baseball football thing right now.
Yeah, so he doesn't get to practice as much with us. We see him about once a week, and like I said, it's always tough with a new offense, so it's been tough for him, I know, but it's a great responsibility that he's taken on. We all love Shank, and he's always kind of been that old head for us, that leader that he and I are trying to lead this group this season. So we're all kind of together right now, and he's been doing a great job.
Question from Jordan Hill.
Luke, we've had a chance to watch Coach Bedell some at practice. He seems like a pretty energetic guy. Just, I mean, what's your impressions of getting to work with him so far and what he's bringing to the table?
Yeah, he's definitely energetic. I love him so far. Like I said, it's with all this new install coming in, he's been really, really good about teaching every aspect of it and making sure that we all understand every aspect of it and conceptually learn every concept that we have. He's a great coach, and I think that it's going to be a good match for the tight ends right now. With the energy, with the coaching style, we are very excited to have him.
And our last question is from Jeff Shearer.
Hey, Luke, you've had a lot of big moments at Jordan Hare Stadium, but how about this one that you put on Instagram from about 6 weeks ago, February
20th?
Could you tell us about that one?
Yes, sir. So went home not too long ago and was talking to my family, and my dad actually told me on the golf course, he was like, "I've been with this girl for a while," and he was like, "Why are you waiting? Like, what's the point? You already know. So if you know, you know." So. Got that done, and she's always told me that her favorite place on the planet is Jordan-Hare Stadium, and it's mine too, so it was pretty special. I had some friends go out there and help set it up, and like I said, being able to propose to the woman you love and the place that you love is pretty special. So,
were you more nervous for that or for maybe like an iron ball?
Oh, I don't know. Probably that. That's what I was telling her. She was like, "I don't know why you were nervous," but I told her, I mean, I couldn't eat the next day. She's like, "Why were you nervous?" I was going to say yes. I was like, "Man, I couldn't even eat. I was so nervous." So probably that. If I don't say that, I'll probably get in trouble. So.
Appreciate it. And her name is?
Ansley.
Okay. Right. And that's Luke Deal, who spent some time with the media.
I've met Ansley before, actually.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, congrats. That's a cool story, and I'm glad he was asked about it. So that's very cool that they're engaged to be married.
Look for 85 and 86 tomorrow, Tyler Fromm and Luke Deal. I think they have a chance to have big days tomorrow. Because when you're, especially if the defensive line is having a good day, that's a wise idea to be able to find your tight end pretty quickly. And on the other hand, the other reason is there just aren't that many running backs. What do you think about the running backs tomorrow? I don't know that you should see, or I don't think there's any reason for Tank to have to play very long. I don't know that you really have to showcase Sean Shivers that much. I think Devin Barrett, Jay Sharp get a lot of work tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, anybody, and maybe you're not running the ball very, very, very much tomorrow because you want the quarterbacks to get a lot of the work after Bo Nix and Grant Loy leave. So I think between the sheer lack of numbers beyond your top two at running back and how important it is to avoid injury at that position, I wonder if it could look like I wonder if we could see five receivers, four receivers, and a tight end a lot on the field.
Who are they going to be? There's only like four or five receivers, period. There may be some. Let me correct that. I haven't seen tomorrow's 8A roster, and I'm sure there's some walk-on receivers.
And I'm sure they would love the opportunity to get thrown pass or two on at Jordan-Hare Stadium. So I wonder. I mean, I can't imagine you're going to see a lot of handoffs, because when you get past Tank Bigsby and Sean Shivers, I mean, you're really down to two guys, right? And to say nothing about Jay Sharp. Devin Barrett also needs to avoid injury, because he's one of four running backs right now.
You know, tomorrow though could be big for Devin Barrett, because if he doesn't show anything tomorrow, or hasn't really stepped up here over the end of the spring, then that may be his last opportunity to really figure in, because in comes, you know, Jarquez Hunter, and we'll see. That could really precipitate Auburn pursuing a back in the transfer portal.
The more I think about the possibility that Auburn needs to go out and get another every down running back, despite the fact that they convinced Hunter, they recruited Hunter, and despite the fact that they brought Devin Barrett back over from the defense. I mean, if this is an offense that would be, I mean, so much of it seems to be built around Tank Bigsby. Going into this season, and you're not going to completely replicate what Tank Bigsby brings you with somebody else, but you need some degree of insurance in the form of another every down running back, even if you got to go, you know, to the FCS level, or however you find him is immaterial. But yeah, Auburn, I think I would be surprised if Auburn was done and these are the running backs going into the season.
We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind it down here on the Friday Drive.
You're live on the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final couple of minutes of the Friday Drive. So, when we come back Monday, there will be a lot to talk about. We'll be looking back at the 8A game. We'll let you know what, I guess anybody can watch what's going on at the 8A game in Tuscaloosa. What do you think crowd-wise? What do you think we'll see
for Auburn?
Crowd-wise for Auburn?
Yeah. I mean, I would hope that it's a big number. I think more people came to the open practice a couple of weeks ago than I was necessarily expecting, given the short notice. I'll do some detective work tonight and sort of evaluate how busy downtown is and how if it seems like there's an influx of people into town. But I would think 20. Did they announce? They announced the number, right? Traditionally.
Yes. Oh, yes, they do it. That used to be one of the key things. It's a way for the media to try to make it into the media guide, because it's the Bill Beckwith annual prognostication of the crowd.
You guys want to do one here on the show?
I will say for tomorrow,
closest without going over. Price is Right rules.
24,000.
Drew, what do you think? Drew's going 23,000.
He's going under. What is this? Right. The Price is Right.
You know what? Hold on.
You're going to go one.
One fan. I'm going one fan.
Yeah.
No, I think it'll be more than your guys.
I think it'll be more than one.
Yeah. I'm not going to play that. Yeah. I think it'll be. You can put me. Give me the over on 24,000.
All right. That's going to wrap things up for the Friday Drive. Yeah. Monday, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com with us. We'll look back at the big weekend in sports. So hopefully you'll join us in. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.
On, and that's according to a report from The Athletic. Now, we've talked a lot about it on Spain and Fitz. It's a confusing time for Mets fans. Let's be real. They were excited just a few months ago when new ownership comes in. They're spending money and they're trying to put the Mets in a situation where it's an easy team to root for. And it's easy to make the joke Mets are going to Met when you start seeing these sorts of complaints come to the forefront, realize that these complaints deserve to be heard, and all of a sudden it changes the way Mets fans feel. But realistically, this is something across the landscape of sports right now that every single organization in every single sport should be stopping to pay attention to. At what point are we going to realize that these sort of allegations are not going to go anywhere? At what point does everybody within every single organization need to go out, find people that can actually look at their culture and say, hey, what have we been doing right now? What have we been doing over the last 10 years? And have we been doing the right thing? The one thing that could sort of get ahead of all of this in my mind is if organizations genuinely cared about change and went back and looked at how they've been acting in a realistic and thorough way and got ahead of it to come out and say, hey, this is what we've done, this is what we're doing, and this is how we've changed. Until any of that happens, every organization that's busted has just given us lip service. In 60 seconds, one conversation, we've got to stop with the draft.
It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All in America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you could pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully.